Our topic, as it's been for the last number of months, the harmony of the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John concerning the life and ministry of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're in the last week of his life. We've been stuck on that same day, but we want to thank the Lord for what he's allowed us to learn concerning our Lord and also concerning ourselves. Let's open in prayer, and then we'll look at the Word. Heavenly Father, we do praise you and thank you for allowing us to just walk with you, learn of you, learn of ourselves. We pray that as a result of our study this day, that indeed our walk would be more conformed to your walk, and our talk likewise. Bless our study now, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're here in the 16th chapter of John, and as we've mentioned, we've gone from chapter 14, and we'll go all the way to chapter 17, and the accounts that we're looking at in those verses only appear, in the Gospel of John. In the very first part of John chapter 16, I mentioned on your sheet how Jesus was teaching concerning the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 16 through 33, he begins to teach about himself. So let's see what he has to say concerning his going and his coming. We're at verse 16. Here's the question that we ask. What does Jesus say about not seeing him and about seeing him? He writes, "A little while, and ye shall not see me." And again, "A little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father." Well, I mentioned to you probably the first one, "A little while, and you're not going to see me." That's talking about his death and his burial. "All right, a little while, and you're not going to see me." Now, the second one, "A little while, and you shall see me because I go to the Father." There's some different interpretations of what that might be referring to. I give you about three of them. It may refer to his resurrection and his 40 days before his ascension. Okay, it could be that. Or it could be the aspect of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Or it could be a reference to his second coming. "A little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father." Which one would you think it probably is referenced to of those three? Yeah, his resurrection and his ascension, that they're going to see him. And then he says, "And then I go to be with my Father," with that ascension. That's probably the one. Hey, how about the next question in verse 17? How did some of his disciples respond to one another concerning that saying? "Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith, a little while, and ye shall not see me? And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father." Question, did they understand what Jesus was talking about? And why not? You said, no, they didn't understand, and that's obvious by the response they didn't. But why? Say it again. Because the Lord chose not to reveal it to them. There's many things that you and I desire to understand concerning the Word of God. And there's at times when God opens our mind to that understanding. And there may be other things. Teresa and I, we've just been reading through Revelation. And we just completed Revelation this week. I'm going to tell you, there's still some things in that book I don't understand. And now, whether or not he will choose to reveal it to me, I don't know. But You know, when we're going through and I come to one, I say, well, Lord, it'd be nice if I could understand what this means. But there's just things that God does not, for his own divine purpose, reveal to us. Now, we know a little bit more now. So when we read this, you know, we might be a little more informative of what he was talking about. The aspect, like he said, after his death, there'd be his resurrection. There'd be those 40 days that he would walk and mingle with his disciples. And then, of course, his ascension unto the Father. Next verse. What question did some of his disciples ask among themselves? What did he say? They said, therefore, what is this that he saith a little while? We cannot tell what he saith. So once again, we're just seeing that there are some things they just don't understand. All right? Now, watch this. What did Jesus know? Now, Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him. So, by what the Lord is perceiving, by what the Lord knows, he's omniscient, all right? Because of his divine attributes, he knows that they are desirous to ask him something. Well, what did Jesus say? And he saith unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of what I said? A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me. So we see, you know, what divine attribute in our Lord here. They've been talking among themselves, and yet Jesus knows exactly what they've been talking about. Yeah, he's all-knowing, all right? There's omniscience. All right, so that's what we see. Now, how did Jesus say they would respond and the world would respond to this very thing that he's talked about? A little while you shall not see me. A little while then you shall see me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall what? Rejoice. Oh, ye shall be sorrowful. But wait a minute. Your sorrow shall be turned into joy. All right, so why would they be weeping and lamenting when he would be what? Put to death, his crucifixion. When would their weeping and lament, their sorrow be turned to joy? When they would what? See him again, be in his presence. And of course, why did the world rejoice? They wanted to put him to death. Why would he want to put him to death, though? Think about that. Okay, always convicted. He was always dealing with them. He was what you and I might refer to, he was anti-religious. And because he was constantly pointing out to the religious Pharisees and scribes of their error. And so their desires of putting him to death, and they had convinced the multitude that he was a threat to even their society. Now, how could they do that, that he would be a threat to their society? Got any ideas? They were going to turn them. How are they turning them? That this one, who might he cause to come and to just put pressure and Romans? Yeah, well, he's trying to stir up things, boy. And if he's stirring up things, we better look out because the Romans are going to be upset and they're going to come and persecute us. And so they convince him that he's, you know, we got to get rid of him. Now watch this. about this whole matter. What example does Jesus give to his disciples? Well, we know a little bit about this because we just had this in our first hour, didn't we, huh? A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. Now, if you've got any women in this room and given birth to a child, then you probably understand exactly what he's talking about, maybe more so than we men. Ah, but wait a minute. But as soon as she is delivered, the child, she remembereth no more the anguish. Ah, for joy that a man is born into the world. You ever going into the hospital room after the mother has just given birth and say, are you planning on any more kids? I did that once early in my ministry. Don't do that. Not a good thing to do. Now, it's kind of surprisingly, but a year later, she was pregnant again, all right? But at that time, it was not the question to be asking, how many more children you want to have? But, you know, this is what he's saying, you know, hey, right now there's sorrow because I'm going to be gone, but wait a minute, I'm coming, you know, I'm coming back. Look at verse 22. He continues, he says, and ye now therefore have sorrow. Oh, but I will see you again. And your heart shall rejoice. You had sorrow, now it's going to rejoice. And your joy no man taketh from you. And I mentioned, hey, there's going to be joy after his ascension. Let me just read to you Luke chapter 24, verse 41 says it like this. Luke 24 verse 41, and of course, and we indeed justly, for we receive the, wait a minute, chapter 23, 24, 41 says, and while they yet believed not for joy and wonder, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? I mean, they were excited. They were, this is upon, is making his appearance to them. They were excited. They were wondering, and this is all during his ascension. What's the blessing Jesus has promised to his disciples here? Look at verse 23. And in that day, ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Question. Why would they no longer be able to ask Jesus any questions? Oh, Father's there. But where's Jesus at? Jesus has been in their presence. While Jesus has been in their presence, they could ask him questions. So what's this mean? What's about that? But there's coming a time when Jesus what? Wasn't going to be with them. Now, who is he going to send? Oh, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. You know, there's coming a day you're not going to be asking me anything. But whatever you ask in my name, and we talked about that phrase, in my name, according to my will, according to God's will, he will give it to you. So we've seen as he's teaching along, he comes right back to this theme. You know, whatever you ask in my name, you're going to receive. You're going to receive. Now, who would they be able to ask? Look, go back with me to John 14. John 14, and I got two verses, 13 and 14. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now look at John chapter 15. Verse 7. Oh, watch. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Verse 16. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And now we see it again, John chapter 16, verse 19. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said to them, do you inquire among yourselves of what I said a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me? And then he says in verse 23, in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that whatsoever you shall ask in the Father, ask the Father in my name, he will give it unto you. So he's gone to be with the Father, and but now they could ask, being directed, praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in the Lord's name or according to his will, and everything would be answered. What does Jesus say they had not done up to this point? Now, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. I mentioned this on your sheet. Now, when praying in the Spirit to the Father, they were to ask in Jesus' name. That is, according to God's will, and their prayers would be answered. But now watch this. I also say this. Just like abiding in Jesus' word and love, that was John 15, verses 7 through 11, that results in their joy being full. If you went back and read that, you'll see that their joy was full. So does asking in prayer in Jesus' name also result in their joy being full. So two aspects here. You say, hey, you want your joy to be full? Well, here's what you got to do. Abide in Jesus. That is, abide in his word. Abide in his love. That's what we studied in John 15. And he says your joy will be full. Same thing. Asking in Jesus' name. And again, your joy will be full. And why might it be full? Because your prayer, if you're praying in Jesus' name, if you're praying in the will of God, you know what's going to happen. Don't you get pretty excited when your prayers are answered? And when you and I can pray in the Spirit, when we can pray being guided and directed by the Spirit, you know, and our prayers are answered, I guarantee you there's joy. What about verse 25? How does Jesus say he had been speaking to them? Now watch. He says, these things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. Oh, well, wait a minute. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. Now, proverb, it can be, it's one of the definitions, it can be a dark or puzzling saying. And I think in this passage, that's exactly a good definition for it. Maybe an aspect of something that hasn't been revealed, but is going to be revealed. And there are certain things that he had been speaking to them in Proverbs, aspect that they didn't fully understand them. On your next sheet, what does Jesus say is not going to happen at that time? At that day, ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. What is that about? I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. What's Jesus indicating they can do themselves in their prayers? What is that, Rick? Direct access. Direct access. And, you know, all this is with the aspect of the coming of the Holy Spirit. We're having direct access. We don't have to come to Lord, Lord, would you go and pray? No. You can go right to the Father. who does Jesus say they can go directly to in prayer? Well, okay, he explains it now. For the Father himself, he loveth you. Why? Because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. Why would they have such intimacy with the Father? Why? Because why? Okay, because of their intimacy with him, they would have intimacy with the Father. It's interesting that he says, I'm reading out of Romans 5, verse 1, it says this, and 2, I'll read that. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. But man, we have peace. We have access. And both of them come by faith. Because of our relationship with the Son, we have that closeness with the Father. Oh, for the Father himself, he loveth you because you've loved me and because you believed. Why does the Father love us? Two things. He loves us because we love who? Yeah, all right, love Christ. But in that, now we know there's other verses in 1 John epistle where he says we love God because he first loved us. Okay, so we know that too. But here he's talking about, listen, the reason the Father loves us is because ye have loved me and because you have believed in me. When you and I love the Father, when we love the Son in the aspect of embracing him, believing on him, it's a clear demonstration for us then that the Father indeed loves us and has chosen us from before the foundation of the world. Now, because Jesus and the Father are one, in going to the Father, they are in reality also going to the Son through prayer. Where does Jesus say he came from and was going, according to verse 28? He says, first of all, I came forth, yes, what? From the Father, and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world, and go to the Father. I've come from the Father, and I go to the Father. Come from the Father, I go to the Father. What did his disciples say about understanding him? Well, his disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. In other words, they were saying, they now understood what he was saying. Hey, I've come from the Father, I'm going to go to the Father. My Father loves you because you love me and believe in me. Why did his disciples say they believed he came from God? Look at verse 30. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things. He's omniscient, right? He knows all things. And needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou comest forth from God. So we see his disciples, at least at this point, they're acknowledging his origin. All right? But they're also acknowledging his deity. You know all things. You need not that any man should ask thee. You know it all. And we believe that you've come forth from God. We know your origin. Now, what question does Jesus ask his disciples? Now, listen, they just made this declaration, haven't they? Man, we know where your origin is. We know who you've come from. Now, we know about your deity. You're omniscient. You know all things. But watch what Jesus does. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? How do they respond? Well, what does Jesus say that they're going to do shortly? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man, to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. So what's he saying? What's Jesus? They made this great declaration in the Lord. But what's the Lord say to them? Won't be long before every one of you are going to what? Yeah, you're going to leave me. You're going to desert me. You're going to forsake me. Wow. Right on the top of your page there, you know what? Jesus knows them better than they know themselves. And there's, of course, a prophecy of Zechariah 13:7. And that prophecy is also seen in Matthew 26. Let me read it to you. Matthew 26, verse 56 says this. 26:56 says, but to all this was done, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Of course, the Lord knows, because he knows the scriptures. He knows the prophecy of Zechariah of what was going to happen. And indeed, it did happen. Now, why had Jesus spoken these things to his disciples? Very interesting. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. We saw that in Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. In the world, oh boy, you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, of course, these things is a reference to chapters 14, 15, and 16, all that he's been saying. And he's been saying all these things that they might have peace. He knows that they're about to face what? With his leaving, his disciples are going to face great tribulation, persecution. So he said, I've said all these things so that you might have peace when I'm gone. I bring you comfort, because I'm going to overcome the world. Now, how did he overcome the world? When he what? When he died on the cross, this crucifixion. The devil was defeated at that time. Now, I write here, the world seeks to devour, discourage, destroy us. But in Jesus and his word, if we believe it and obey it, we can find peace and joy. Because Jesus won at the cross, and because we are one in him, we too can win. Romans 8:20-37. All right, did we learn anything about our triune God in these verses today? What did we learn? Somebody, anybody? Can God, will God at times withhold, come on, fill it in, information, what's another word, understanding from us? And the answer to that is what? Yes, that's what we saw. There's times when God may withhold. Speak to us in Proverbs. He may withhold certain biblical truths from us. All right? Now, what a divine attribute did we see that in the fact that Jesus knew? He was omniscient. We see this again, that he's omniscient. What promise do we see? Again, this is the third time. We saw it in chapter 15. We saw it in 14, 15, and now in 16, same promise. That if you ask anything in my name, you shall receive. You ask it according to my will, you're going to receive it. What else did we learn? Did we learn anything about the Father? The Father, blanks us? The Father, he loves us. Why? Because we love the Son, because we believe in the Son. These are some of the things that we saw about God the Father, God the Son. And we also saw that Jesus, he went to be, well, Jesus first came from the Father, and now he is going, in this passage, back to the Father. Did we learn anything about mankind? Well, following on the fact that the Lord gives understanding, we learned that Jesus, the disciples, did not what? Christians may not have complete and total understanding. All right? What do we find out about the world or what the world would do concerning Christ's death? They would what? How would they respond? They would rejoice. And how would his children respond? They would, initial response would be weeping. But then there would be joy when he made himself known to them and came into their presence. One thing we learn is that Christians will do two things. That those Christians who are loved by the Father, they're going to do two things. They're going to blank the Son and blank the Son. Christians will, what was the thing we found them? Father loved us because we loved him. So the first thing we know Christians will do, they'll love the Lord, Jesus. What else will they do in this aspect of love? They will believe. They'll believe him. That's what we learned about Christians. They're going to love Jesus. They're going to believe Jesus has come from the Father, meaning the aspect of not only his humanity, but also his deity. He's both God and man. Well, let's see what else. Oh, we learned in this passage that Christians are going to suffer what? They're going to suffer tribulation. So we learned that. All right, so we talked about some things of what we learned about our triune God, some things we learned about mankind. Okay, so how might these verses change our behavior? You fill it in. Listen, because I know there's times when God withholds understanding from me, I purpose to. What might you purpose to do? Seek his will through his word. Anything else? Well, let me just read you something, okay? Let's see. Here's what I read. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family of heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, he's talking to Christians, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Anything else? Oh, yeah. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that you be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints. All right? So he's praying all that you might understand these things. He had also said this. Oh, first prayer, Ephesians 1. Oh, that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glories, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. And he goes on. Here's Paul praying for the church, that the church, Christians, might have understanding concerning his will. So if you look and you say, you know what, because I've learned there's times that God may withhold understanding from me, then one of the things that you might do is to ask for that understanding. And as you're asking, you know that understanding comes from studying the Word of God. So you got your two aspects. You're praying, God, give me understanding, while at the same time you're studying the Word of God. How about this? Hey, you know what? I purpose to pray. Now, it says in Jesus' name. And what did we say that has a connotation of? Praying in his will. And, you know, praying, guided, directed by the Holy Spirit. And praying in the will of the Son. Let's see what else. Because there's peace in Jesus, because we saw that, there's peace in Jesus. What might you purpose to do? Because there's peace in Jesus, I purpose to walk in obedience to him. Remember we saw earlier chapter, we are to abide in Jesus, abide in his love, abide in his word, abide in his love. And these are the things that we can do. We can purpose to trust in him. All right. Anything else that you'd like to share or a question you want to ask on this whole aspect of John chapter 16? Next week, we start with this great prayer in John chapter 17. But this is a good taste of the Lord preparing his children for when he was going to leave them. He is trying to get them to a place where they will be able to live victorious lives, even in the midst of great persecution. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and praise you for this illustration that we have received from your word. And we would ask that, Father, you would just bless us. Bless us. With great understanding, more understanding of your word and your ways in our life. Help us, I pray, Father, to just be given thanks and praise for what you've done in our hearts and lives and what you're going to do. We just thank you now in Jesus' precious name. Amen.